I don't necessarily consider something like World of Warcraft. This is just me, World of Warcraft LARPing, because you're interacting through an avatar, through something that your avatar is doing it, not you doing it. And one of my distinctions in my essay that I talk about is that you stand up and go through the door. You don't tell a virtual avatar to stand up and go through the door. So one of my requirements, and there's no right or wrong, just when I'm talking about LARPing, I usually mean that you personally do the action. Whatever it is, go through a door.
The action for you is immediate.
Yes, exactly. You really do it. You're not going through something else, which also separates LARP from traditional role playing games like Dungeons and Dragons, because you're narrating it. The idea is that you're actually doing. You go through a narration of something. In other words, you say, "I'm going to go through the door and attack the troll." No. You go and open the door. And the bonus, I think, what I love about live action role playing is that it exercises. Physical, mental, and emotional. Physically, obviously, when you put elf ears on, you're swinging a boffin. I mean, those guys get sweaty. You're wearing armor. You know, even if you're not doing that, but there's definitely physical aspects to.
Remember, everybody knows elves don't sweat.
Right, exactly. there's definitely physical aspects to LARPing. Some of these are very intense actual workouts, and you will be sweaty afterwards. Mentally, that's an easy one. There's puzzles to solve and challenges to overcome, and you know, politics to work and stuff like that. But what doesn't get discussed a lot of times is the emotional aspect of live action role playing and how that comes in, and how that obviously that comes in. And what it is, some of you may know from the video game industry the difference between sympathy and empathy. And if I get these right, I always get them wrong. Sympathy is that you feel for the character because you can sort of, they're on screen and you say, "Oh, I feel bad for that other person. I really care for them, but they're bad." Empathy is I've gone through that or I am going through that, and I'm going through the exact same thing you're going through. It's a little different than something that's removed. In live action role playing, it's all empathy because you really are. Going through the situation, even though it's fake, even though it's kind of a virtual reality or something, it's like, well, I'm not really facing the ogre, but nevertheless, you as a person are standing up to something very bigger and tougher than you that you need to then overcome. Something like that. There's an emotional fear to it. This, The Road Not Taken, is heavily an emotional exercise in it. Obviously, as you guys can tell, is extremely emotional. Typically, it's 10 minutes. You're in a much quieter sort of situation. When the scenes are out, you turn the light, like I'll turn the light off or ring a bell or something like that. It came out of psychodrama. Some of the things that I mentioned as some of you as were talking, I'm sorry I forgot, is I'm wondering, like I read stories about post-traumatic stress syndrome from soldiers coming back. Right now they're doing virtual things. They'll put a virtual helmet on and they'll go through Iraq or Afghanistan again. What if you did a LARP scenario for that? Something like that to try and get them, like, get them up to a level where they are reenacting the scene. Something like that. For business, decision-making things. Obviously, if a large decision is coming up for a corporate head, you could run through, say, The Road Not Taken, possibly, and say, what are all the pros and cons of it? And you can have everybody go off and stuff in this kind of locked-off virtual reality that you know, whatever the decision is doesn't have to be the decision. Whatever you decide, you can kind of bounce off. Well, what if I do decide this? Then this will happen, and the other voices, human beings, can kind of infringe on what you're going to do, and then ideally you've already kind of gone through this in a human experience instead of kind of being left alone, you know, in your own little head with the voices of your head, if that sort of makes sense. You know what I mean, what this is. So overall, I think the Road Not Taken is a heavy level LARP, but I wanted to kind of show you guys this demonstration of like where I'm coming from. And what I think of live action role playing and what it can be, what its potentials are, the stuff that it could do. The stuff that I'm interested in is LARP for education and the fringe stuff. So, say, business, education, you know, psychodrama. I think that the Stanford Prison Experiment, if you guys heard of that, I think that was a LARP. If you're familiar with Stanford, the ZAM. I always get the name wrong. It's a Z name. I think that was a LARP, that they pretended to be prisoners and guards. I don't know if you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did that.
And they stopped
like
it.
One of the TV shows.
There's one called The Wave.
It was on a major TV show.
Okay, yeah. But the Stanford Prison Experiment, like, basically was a demonstration of, like, treatment of prisoners, and they cut it off after, like, 3 weeks. Supposed to be a week. 3 days. Supposed to be a week. Mm-hmm. They stopped it because it was getting so intense. To me, that was a LARP.
Oh, that's like the We Live in Public Experiment in New York, the living in the bunker thing, if you think about it. That's exactly what that is. Have you seen the movie?
It's a documentary. It's called We Live in Public. It's streaming on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Because there's one called Dark Days that I know is about the people who set up their own town and the underneath New York. So was it We Live in Public?
Okay,
okay. But something like that. Now, the Nordic countries, Denmark and Sweden, is going to go like crazy. I mean, those guys are like crazy. And they've done stuff that are very much interested in social change. Very interested in social change. So they have ones that are like dealing with homelessness situation. You role play a homeless person for like, and they go way longer. They go like weeks where like you're playing a homeless person. Here's your character. You're on your own. You know what I mean? And have fun.
I was talking to a PR woman who was in South Africa in the 70s and 80s, pre-apartheid and slightly post. She said they had a thing there called industrial theater and industrial punking, where if they had a problem employee or problem scenario, they would bring actors in, and they would perform, they would create a theatrical game around the problem, and if somebody was a problem employee, they would actually punk that person and expose them. If it was sexual harassment or something, they would lead them down the merry path and then expose them and punk them. And
yeah.
She goes, you can never do it, you know,
yeah.
HR would never allow it, but she's really interested in this industrial theater idea. So
it's interesting because imagine what if one of these was a sexual harassment scenario. You know, I mean, sort of was, but that you have something like that. So what I think is interesting, and there's been research from Sweden, I think, with a virtual one. There's basically a way they thought, thank you. They're virtually, what you'll do is they'll put a camera and special goggles on your head so that you see as the other person. So if Scott and I were in these things, they'll put a camera on and I will see me through Scott's eyes because he's got a camera and basically my visor is showing what his camera shows. Right. And then you'll turn around and basically you could sort of like live in the shoes of someone. They're dealing with racism is what they're talking. So you could see what it's like to be, you know, of you know, an ethnic, a different ethnicity than you. And a lot of times what their results are for what the test was is like, it's like, oh my God, I never realized. Because you're not living through that other person's eyes. I never realized it was like this. And, you know, it's a black like me book scenario. I think this is a cheap, easy way to do it. What if you had, what if I started role reversing? And I, and like gender reversal, and or you write a scenario where, you know, you take a guy, you know, a guy who's like, man, I'm a player and everything, and all of a sudden all the girls are, you know, hey baby, and he's playing a woman, and I'll be, hey baby, come on man, you know, something like that. Will that, could that change the empathy in the way there's behavior and stuff like that? So that's the kind of stuff that I'm interested in LARP. Obviously, like I said, it's just one small section of it. The bulk of it is elf ears and boppers in the forest. Yes. But if you guys are, you know...
I have a question
yeah.
About the psychology of it, because when you are using an online virtual community, you can be another person, which is, so you have an anonymity, and it allows you to lurk for a little bit, see if the voice on abortion or something that maybe your community, your peers, your family, your religion, whatever, doesn't agree with you, but you think it's okay, but you don't feel comfortable in your offline life, your real life, you go into a virtual community with somebody else, and then you tend to be more authentic. Like if you were in a group of 5 executives, 4 of them are much higher ranking, and they're having a discussion that involves you, you're less likely to speak up than if it was 5 people with a level playing field of a virtual community. And one of the things that makes this so powerful is the human connection. And so, since there's no resolve to the conflict, how do you translate it digitally so that people feel safe enough, and you can't have the spontaneity of the meetings with everybody around you, where the position is of the person behind you. Like,
yeah.
I think you were the money guy. So where was my money guy? It's like, what about your rent? Oh, that was you with the $4,000 rents over there. You know, I was like, $4,000 But you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you translate?
That's kind of my question, I guess.
How do you communicate that? You can't do a live Twitter. You can maybe do a WebEx.
You can do a live Twitter. We've done it with Jay Fishman.
Yeah. But like, so...
But this is hiding behind an identity, so you...
Yeah, but you did. You did. You created accounts based on your character, and so you made it that way.
You did?
Yeah.
And
we did, like,
play?
Star Wars.
And you role-played.
We did, Alien.
Exactly.
That assumes that there has to be a digital extension between the two as well. So this doesn't necessarily...
Yeah, that's my question. So my...
Entertaining
viralness that it could have, or the social benefit it could have.
That's my question right there. And what you guys is what we just did trans? Do you consider what that was transmedia? I don't exactly know what transmedia is, but it's like, in other words, like, what are the definitions of it, and how does it fit? Is LARP another? Is it synonymous with transmedia? Is it related to? Is it child of?
I think a potentially useful thing is one of the other terms that Jay Bushman likes to use. In fact, it's his preferred term, is platform agnostic storytelling. Are you telling a story that can be told across platforms in different platforms? And you are. Platform agnostic storytelling.
Another story could be told across. And when it's the sole, it may not be the sole platform, which it would just be one of many, which would make it a trans. Part of a
transition. Okay, so stage is a
platform equals delivery system.
Yeah. Okay, but this seemed to be a one-way delivery system.
Wall, but this is some information
this
on
is
it.
One platform.
This is a one-platform thing.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't be transmedia.
It would be transmedia if we all had a Twitter feed going.
I think it's
in addition.
Multiple mediums, not singular.
Okay, so transmedia basically is going off on multiple delivery systems of a continuous story.
Yeah, this could be a station within a larger transmedia experience. So the player, the voices could have been players that had solved the puzzle that could then show up at a certain time and location and interact with either an actor or another player that was chosen to be the voice and then break away, and then that would all get fed back into
part of the conversation has to do with multiple storylines. So
no, I disagree.
You do?
I
think multimedia.
A single story can be fragmented across multiple mediums and multiple platforms, and that's transmedia.
But then at least it's different aspects of the story. Like, yes, each thing has to stand by itself.
I'm just saying you can have a single story fragmented as opposed to a shared world of stories.
But
what I mean by that is you can have a story with, say, five characters, and it's those five characters' story being split across, as opposed to these five characters have a movie, these 10 have a comic, these three have a novel.
But the distinction is that with multimedia to me is you don't get the whole story, you don't have a complete story without all the media that you're using. Whereas to me, transmedia is like, oh, you can have many stories, you don't have to have access to every one, but it's complete within each medium.
But they all add to the original.
Like that, you could only see this portion, and that would be something.
There is disagreement as to whether or not each part must survive on its own.
Let me add,
we are not in consensus on that. Some people feel like they should stand alone, and some feel like they don't have to.
So your definition to me is LARP, or is part of LARP, because I don't know if you guys noticed, but I went to the bathroom on that last scene for like a minute. This was continuing without me, the writer, which is one of the beautiful things about LARPing, is that the creator who like booked the room and set up the scenario and the sandbox and everything is never have I been totally aware of everything that's going on, right? So for a minute, you guys are off on your own. I'm in the bathroom. The best line, the best moment could have been said, and I'm not around. I don't need to do it. I wasn't influencing you guys at all. Part of the LARP that's interesting of it is that usually we're in, like, let's say a forest, and you have all these stories.
You guys really have
to apologize.
We're in a bakery, okay?
A bakery. But I've done in amazing places. But imagine, like, I did one at a ranch. It was a Western. I basically did a Western LARP years ago. The best scene was between a widow who lost her child and thought that the ghosts were saying, come to us and we'll bring the child to you. And another guy says, I think the ghosts are lying to you. They're sitting by the campfire. I was at another part of the ranch dealing with gunfighters or something like that. But the scene was like, oh my God, and someone taped it. And I go, this is like Oscar-winning drama. Where she's like, no, they didn't lie to me. It's like, I think they are. And they're by the campfire and the lights. But basically the idea is that there's a story going on that end of the ranch, and I'm in another end of the ranch. That's all over on LARP. Everyone has their own story. And one reason why I think LARP has so many problems is because we can't codify it. We can't relate that. In other words, if we try to write up your experience tonight, it's everyone has a different one. Everyone had a different experience. Exactly, because everyone had their own experience to it. Some like it, some don't, you know, whatever it is. We can't
Let me just say something. I sort of approach it from a slightly different joint perspective, because content is king,
it's a marketing strategy that's been used forever, but when you really think about it, it's more relevant now. And that is, Constance is king, Constance is queen, and they must be married together. And the distribution of it is sort of like the children. And if you the way that Spider-Man tweets is a children's show is different than the way Spider-Man tweets is a live-action movie, is different than the adult costume and the child's costume and the paper plates and the books and the novels, the comic books. But no matter what, there are things that Spider-Man would do and there are things that Spider-Man would not do. And as long as you stay true to the king's content, and then you figure out from that content, the way that Anderson Cooper would tweet is a very different voice than Miley Cyrus, you know, because the context is different. For example, if you were going to make a game about, we got to get a video game, we got to get an app for the show House. Everybody know the show House? We got to get a video game. Well, you could have them, you know, chasing hills with a cane, like playing Pac-Man. It's an easy app, easy to follow. But is that really the context that you want for that show? There's a lot of different ways you could go. You could go life-saving. You could be humorous with bladders and kidneys and organs and whatever. And so I think whenever you approach anything from LARP or whatever, well, how can you tell this story and keep the basic reasons that the content is so powerful, but so strong, you can translate it? And then when you translate it, what's the best way? Is it better? Sometimes maybe it's better to tell it in continuity. If you're looking at the Haiti, you might want to tell it from 10 different rooms with no resolution. But if you're telling the story of a marriage over the course of 5 years, you know, married with children, even, you might want to have closure with just the elements that
we think. Does that depend on the people involved and the control that you actually want to have over it? Because in some cases, right, I think the most interesting experiences are the ones that be organic.
You know, go ahead and send your papers down.
You don't, like, can't constrain people. I mean, sure, there's fans out there, like the Star Wars or Star Trek fans, who are super anal retentive about, you know, how the characters are and the worlds are, and they like to retain that. And then there's the ones that want to build new things and new ideas and new characters. I think that in some ways, it's like there's branches that happen, and by letting that, you know, you experience things that you would never have come up with on your own as a creator.
In LARPing, what we do, what I do, that I sort of
exactly.
is that it's right. Communal storytelling, and I love communal storytelling. In other words, as a GM, I am one of the storytellers, game masters, so one of the designers that I started, but I don't really know what's going to happen. In that Western scenario that I gave you, I set it up that the widow of the town was kind of in conflict with the woman of the brothel. The idea was that these two women were trying to control the town, and they'd hire all of these gunfighters to fight it out between them. That's how the characters were set up. I wrote the characters, designed it, right? So got designed it, let them go. Those characters had a talking out and partnered. And joined forces and did the same. And me and the GM, I mean, this is going real time. It's running. I'm like, I didn't think they were going to do that. And it was just like, okay. But I had to run with it. In other words, that story did not end the way I suspected it did. It still ended well. It was a great thing. But the players and the participants wrote the story. The idea is that separating LARP from theater is that instead of having the screenwriter or director saying character A is going to go through stage door B after this line, it's, you know, you're character A and there's a door there. Whenever that character goes through, and that story and narrative is being created by the participants in it. They're both audience and participants. That's the strength and the weakness of LARP. It's both strength and weakness of LARPing. It's the strength because I feel, my personal belief, that a better story can come out of than what I just tell myself, right? Because I have flaws. And ideally, hopefully, let's cross fingers, that Scott's flaws, Scott's strengths can overcome my flaws. So if I don't know about something, Scott will go, or Dan will go, or whatever, you know, Alicia, whatever. You go do this. Hey, yes! I didn't think about that aspect of the story, which you can go in there, that you can come in. The weakness of it is that if I am in there and I'm in a bad mood and I hate you all, I can bring the whole thing down by participating poorly or not at all, or in other words, I can ruin the experience because I'm a powerful character that ruins it, and that's both the greatest strength and greatest weakness of LARP. It's very democratic.
Like, I mean, isn't that just subjective to think that it's being ruined, or is that like everyone comes back and judges and says,
it could ruin it? it could ruin it for some people, but not all people. Some people, because everything is subjective, if we have a LARP with 12 people, one person's trying to break it down, 8 people can say, oh my god, that sucked because Aaron was such a dick. 2 people say, oh my god, that was awesome, that was the best LARP ever. You know what I mean? It's entirely possible.
Made me step up.
Exactly, exactly.
So I think that to me it seems like it's when people don't want to continue participating that something has failed, right? But if people are wanting to continue on, then okay, maybe a couple people don't agree what happened, but everyone's like, okay, I'm still in it. You know, I'm still committed to making this.
Some people go through it as
failures to participate and reflect the real world in some way, because you're always involved in situations in business or whatever, creative process where somebody decides. Not my thing.
Right, you have to decide if you're involved.
Right, so even that,
it's worse when it's your boss. He's like, I'm not making this.
What would you say is like something about LARP and something like the TV show Survivor, where everyone's where a bunch of non-actors are put in a situation.
Right, right, right. Yeah. It's very similar, and when that came out, we'll come on. It's. It's more of a game where there's a winner and there's rules. It's a little more game-like because there's obviously you get voted off and you have a winner, and there's a goal to that. Also, the scripting of it, in other words, they can't say they don't have total freedom to necessarily adjust what the puzzles were. Can they hijack it from the creators?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I'm saying, no, all win, we all share the pot. We if all they got together and say, we're stopping, and we all vote each other, and we all win, and we all get a portion of the pot.
They don't have that level of control, but they do have a certain amount of control in that their behavior is completely under their control, and even if they're coached, they make their own choices, but they're playing themselves and not a character. It's not role-playing.
It's close.
No, mind you, it's
very close.
Yes, but I'm just saying.
The only thing I think on LARP, when I wrote my essay on a LARP, and I keep thinking about it, like, well, is this LARP? Is that LARP? What about, and I'm thinking, like, crazy things, like, what if at a baseball game, when a fan reaches over and grabs the ball and makes that a home run, is that a LARP, the baseball game? Because they have been, but then I realized, I go, no, it's not a hard line. It's soft. There's fuzzy edges. And there's nothing wrong with that, and it's a spectrum, and things get in, you know, it's blurred. And so when you get into Survivor stuff, you start blurring a little bit. And I'd have to think about it and have my own opinion, but that doesn't necessarily mean yes or no.
It's so much like a theater thing. Like, Ben had an idea that it's about taking the theater and basically staging it as real-world looking situations among the unsuspecting people. But there would be people in the know and people who weren't. Mm-hmm. And participating in it together.
Like a flash mob in theater?
Yeah. Like a flash mob, but a continuing serial thing. So, the idea
so you'd get like a text message and you'd be like, oh, I have to go to this place now.
And then
you don't know where the scene is going to be. You walk into this room and there's people everywhere, but the scene is over here, but you don't know that. You can be staring at people.
There's a lot of stuff like that. There's one going on in LA called Accomplice Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's, who's the guy? I went and did that. I saw that more of a stage theater, but again, it's on the border. There's one called Dungeon Master that is theater that's out of the valley. That's also a large one. So there's so many possibilities of where this sort of thing can go, and I'm kind of proselytizing to get out that there's more rather than less and hit the wall of like, because I get a lot of people, especially in LARP, who go, no, LARP is elf ears and a flapper. Yeah, exactly. Or vampire. Vampire's huge.
Yeah.
The vampire one is
great.
Vampire
the first ones
huge.
That broke away from pen and paper tabletop. That really brought a lot of.
Well, the boxer ones came before then, but the vampire brought it
really
to the mainstream. Right. So you'll show up at a place like this, and we're all vampires, and we're talking about who's going to
win.
They
just did
the
zombie one in the UK, in Bristol, I think it was. I think
I read about that.
It was supposed to be like 300 or 400 people.
Yeah. The LARPs in Europe get huge. Yeah. Well, they'll rent out a castle, and you have 500 people going on.
Oh, that's
castle.
So,
yeah.
I want to go to Europe and I want to go to castle.
So, anyway, I don't want to hold you guys. We can sit and talk. I'm going to sit and talk, but I don't know if they're kicking us out.
They're closing.
Everyone, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I can give you these scenarios if you want. I'll just give it to you. Mike Young's is up. It'll be up on the website. So if you want these for any reason, if you want to talk about this for any reason, my email's there. But one last announcement from me is that WeirdCon is June 10th to 12th in Costa Mesa. and I'm like, I'm on staff with a guy who does it. He's told this to me. He would love to have Transmedia and ARGs there, and he's like, how much room do you want? And we'll give you the space for the weekend. So we already have room, June 10th to 12th or 11th to 13th, whatever that weekend is. I think it's 10 to 12. It might be 11 to 13. Whatever that middle of June weekend. It's graduation weekend for a lot of people, so if you're in college or kids graduating, that's a graduation. But
have you done any LARPs with the augmented reality?
Like virtual stuff?
Augmented reality.
Like?
The idea of like the Swedish one you were mentioning. Like I saw that at the WGA. It was that, and it involved online and television stuff. They were very grand on scale.
I'll talk about that in a second because I want to finish the WeirdCon pitch. So I'll post it on there, but if you guys want to do something, either a game, which would, you know, or an experience, which would be awesome. If you want to do a talk, if you want to bring someone to talk, you want to give a presentation, you can do that. We got the space. We'd love to have you guys show up and do something.
I think it's all of that. I think we have presentations and experiences and games and all of it.
If I can put like you're in charge, you can do stuff like that. Now, one thing that I want to... One thing I would love to do, if you can, and here's what I was thinking. If you guys could set something up where there's a tweet thing going on beforehand that climaxes at the thing... At the thing, so there's a Twitter, there's a feed, there's a website going on like the month before, and then it's the big thing at the end. For example, like I was thinking, like somehow like a spy thing, I don't know, like some secret agent, and so you're tweeting and you got drops, you got these little things, but then all the spies come together at the convention and have the main, you know, spy meeting, and it's assassin game, or so if you know assassin, it's like Scorsa, you know, the assassin, something like that. I would love if you guys can do something. So anyway, I could help you. I'm on the list. We can talk more about it. I can give you this information. Guys, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.